Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome in, everybody, to episode 149 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your favorite Saturday brunch bunch. Best four-man booth back at it again, breaking down everything that is the Mount Rushmore and Jabroni of the week from pro wrestling. Gentlemen, how we living? How we feeling? How's everybody going? Jason, I don't know what's up with you right now, but well, there it is. Back in high def.
Glitched up for a second.
In high def. Sorry, cold. It's great. Awesome. Off to a great start, Jay, guys. Good job. Way to come prepared to pod. It's amazing. I don't know if he's doing this shit on purpose right now, if he's just sitting there in dead silence just because, but I'm going to need you to go take a five-hour energy drink or sniff some Coke. I don't know, but something to wake the hell up, okay?
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
My audio just came. The audio just came. I don't know what's going on.
We're off to a rousing success. Before
we have the highest production quality on this show.
Yeah. It's that foreign mic in your computer. That's what it is.
He's only been podcasting for coming on 3 years. You think he'd get a better setup by now? Invest in the show, goddammit. Jeez, oh man. Before we get into everything here and you know, ask about everybody's week and all that, yeah. Yep, true. Yeah. Taquan, I don't know if he's on yet, but there was no Luigi Primo reference last week. So
the streak is broken.
We need to decide what we need to do here because I got a feeling he's going to try to get an exception to be allowed back in. One mulligan.
I think we need to give the thumbs up, thumbs down.
We need to put the stipulation out there, though, as to whether or not we're going to give him a mulligan. And if we do decide to give him a mulligan, he's going to have to bring some fire with at least two Luigi Primo references this week. At least two.
I'm going to go thumbs up. It has to make up for it. Go-shirt.
So you putting the stipulation on a free shirt?
You got to go shirt.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
You have been heard.
Yep, we'll see. We'll rehash this if and when he decides to pop on. Hopefully he's not in a diner this week that has better service. So with that being said, some cleanup from last week. How's everybody doing? How's everybody living? How was everybody's week?
Good.
Mm-hmm. Donald back from vacation with the family.
Yeah. Went out to Hershey, you know, first time for everybody out there. Real fun. Enjoyed it a lot. Yeah. It was good.
Extremely overpriced like every other amusement park around here?
Actually, no. They were a lot cheaper than Kennywood. Oh. A lot cheaper than Kennywood.
In general or like just for tickets? Or
and everything down the board.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everything.
Except that $9 milkshake.
Huh? Oh, well, that's trademark and licensing. You know, you can't help that. Well, Kennywood did have an $8 cupcake there, so... When I went a couple of days ago,
I mean now Hershey Park, you're getting straight from the from the cow.
Yeah. So you're getting freshness, so you got to pay a little bit.
Yeah, you got to pay that upcharge from the teat to the glass, so to speak.
Pause.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, it was a. Little, 56 degree night last night, fall, good. Crisp morning. It was like, we're ready for football season, Steeler game today. You know, Jason, I'm surprised you don't have on a full snuggie right now because of the change in temperature. But
Jason heard weather. He gets, we're talking about seasons again.
That was doing nothing for me.
It felt good, boy. Perfect sleeping weather. Perfect.
Yeah, I don't think there's a better night's sleep then like that winter to spring and summer and the fall, just cool, crisp, 54, 56 degrees with the window open, just laying there, knocked out.
I still had the fan on.
Knocked out. So, yeah. All right, nothing else exciting happened everybody's week? Just dead ass work?
Just work. That's it. Just work. The dog days.
The dog days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
I'm ready to get into this week in wrestling. A lot to talk about.
All right. Well, then let's go. Let's start it off. Where we go? Where you want? You steer the ship right now, Donald. Go ahead. You were off last week. You seemed like you coming in hot. Mm-hmm. You know, no rose-colored glasses, but I got a feeling we're gonna get a round or two based on what you saw this week in pro wrestling. So where you want to start it off at?
Should we just get into the one and only CM Hogan and all of his outtakes over the weekend? All
right. So wait, hold on. Is this just general topic?
Just general topic. Yeah.
Because I figure we can cover this, and then we want to dabble on the Cash Wheeler incident from yesterday that everybody woke up to, which kind of left everybody in the internet wrestling community abuzz with what happened there. And since, you know, CMFTR is a thing, Wembley, yeah. So, all right, CM Hogan. Look. Oh, there he is. There he is. Tack one. Hops up in the comments. Thanks for adding my CM Bellner. Hey, Tack one, before we get into everything, you did not have a Luigi Primo reference last week. So we're gonna, you know, Survivor Island you right now, whether or not you get a mulligan. And if we decide to give you a mulligan, there's gonna be some stipulations for that mulligan. So thumbs up, thumbs down, majority rules. Do we give Taquan a mulligan?
There's a 50-50 split.
Taquan, you're the tiebreaker. What do you got?
Hey, you joined in. You joined in.
He gave the thumbs up.
I gave you the thumbs up, but I get to suck my dick. That's unbelievable.
Well, at least we're past the first 2 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
Taquan, I'm gonna need at least two like absolute fire Luigi Primo
make up for
this
it.
Week from you. You got to make up for it. And Jason decides what shirt you get. Those are the stipulations. Yep. Take it or leave it. So that's on you. You can think about it. You can
wait the whole show out. Yep.
The end of the show. Yeah, but there's your stipulation. Okay?
I think the other criteria should be from this point on, if we need any more of this, instead of voting it all off, it all goes to Jason. Jason's just the deciding
factor. Jason's the decider.
He's judge and jury from this point on with Taquan.
We'll make the white guy the judge and jury. Taquan, that'll work. Okay.
You about to have an exclusive Jason Dunmore shirt. Just my face.
Just
I got one in the hopper already, so if you want to talk about it after the air, we can talk.
We love you, Taquan. We appreciate you rocking and rolling with us each and every single week. All right, CM Hogan. I'm officially, I know Pro is not in the chat yet. I don't know if he's going to get on or not. He had a long night last night doing his gimmick over there. But when are people just going to understand that this dude has been nothing but a cancer everywhere he's been through his entire career?
They're never going to know.
And I'm not saying everything that came out this week was true, because that would be hard-pressed to believe that everything that dropped this week about him was true. But at the same time, history shows, man, you really do think like you're just above and beyond everybody else
in the world.
But if he doesn't have that person to, you know, take him down a couple notches there, you know, if the boss isn't doing that, he's just running the show at this point.
Well, speaking of the boss, I found it funny that during the Bro Chacho vignette this week, we got Tony Khan screaming at Adam Cole and MJF like the Vince McMahon authoritative boss character. I'm like, oh, so now they're just trolling with all the CM Punk stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Tony Khan ranting and raving and yelling at these two just to be a troll. Like, I'm over the Punk stuff. I'm over the Punk news. I don't care. I don't want to see it. I don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. If he's going to wrestle. You got a couple years left, if that. I was looking forward to seeing him and Joe just because I'm a Joe Mark and I want him to choke his ass out in Wembley like he did last week on Collision. But other than that, I don't want to be talking about CM Punk right now.
It just seems like every single week since Collision came on, something. He said something that's just making distrust in the locker room.
Yeah.
It was like, when is TK going to get the locker room aligned and going in motion?
Well, apparently not, because when he came back, he was out there like a Jacksonville Jaguars cheerleader, just chanting CM Punk,
yes,
up signs when he came back in to the company. So,
I mean, we're at a year now. You know, it's almost a full calendar year since the All Out stuff happened, and it's still not resolved.
No.
And it's like, and there's only, I don't care what CM Punk does or what anybody else does, it falls on one person, and that's the only person I'm blaming with all this. So anytime Punk goes out there and does something, I'm not blaming him. He's just doing
what he does to generate views.
Yeah.
Other than internet gossip. Doesn't help or hurt the product.
Look, their ratings are what they are on Collision, and you're about to get worse ratings with college football starting up here in about 20 days. So
Jason.
There you go. All right, there you go. You're one for one, Todd Gordon. Look,
yeah.
So, I mean, we all know that, like, allegedly Hangman was told to come in last week because they were in the area where he lives. Then they told him not to come. Then Punk cuts a promo on him after the show goes off the air for no reason. Then Punk allegedly sends a text message apology. Look, if you're a grown-ass man and you're sending a text message apology to another grown-ass man, you're a bitch.
High school.
Plain and simple.
Junior high girl.
Yeah. Yeah, you might as well. You might as well go back to seventh grade, junior high stuff. Say it with your chest. If you said it and you're truly sorry for it, walk up to the man and apologize to his face. And if legally you're not allowed to do that, based on whatever criteria they've drawn up for this divorce separation, you know, you sleep upstairs, I'll sleep downstairs. Mm-hmm. The CM Punk BS. Then go through the right people and at least get on the telephone or drop a voicemail.
Yes.
But to send a text message, I'm sorry, in a text, like, dude, go kick rocks and flip-flops with that garbage. Mike Tyson used them. Tyson apologized. That's how he apologized to Evander Holyfield for biting his ear.
Is that a ghost dog reference, Ty?
Good old Training Day. That's what
I didn't
want to
spend a lot of time on this today. So if anybody got anything else on CM Hogan, we can get it out the way right now.
It made no sense to me, because it's like, Punk's not a heel. If he was a heel, I would totally get the promo that he cut, because it would make sense. Hey, you're in Hangman's hometown. Cut a promo, get some heat, you know, on yourself for it. But it wasn't that type of situation.
Well, it's funny we're saying CM Hogan, but I forget the Twitter account, so I apologize for not giving the dude his credit. But he basically said Punk is doing Hollywood Hogan. He spray painted the belt. Yeah. He's the good guy cutting promos on the baby. Like, he's literally doing, oh, I'm using my creative control over this show. Like, he's literally pulling 1997 Hollywood Hogan out of the gimmick box, and he's doing it in 2023.
And then also, I'm tired of wrestlers doing everything off camera. I mean, if you really want to send a message, do it on camera. If not, it's not canon to me, using anime terms.
You mean on TV time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you really want to send a message, except people, YouTube and everything and all that stuff, say it on air. What, you the big bad boy? You could do anything.
So, I don't know. I'm sure we'll get something else after.
Something will be today. Something will be tonight.
I just don't know. How are you doing Wembley? if you're going to have Punk and Joe on the show, which I still think they need to add another 2 to 3 matches to round out this card completely. I believe there's like 7 right now. So usually 9, 10, right? You got to have Punk and Joe on this card.
But are they, but because it's Wembley, are they going to do more of a, maybe some longer matches instead of a lot of shorter ones, you know, creating a longer card?
No, instead of do like 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes a piece.
Yeah, because it's that type of crowd instead of an American crowd, you know,
shorter matches. So you mean to tell me that you're doing Wembley Stadium for the first time since 1991, you sold over 85,000 tickets, and your biggest company draw is not on that card? I think they'll get more heat for not having them on the card than putting them on the card.
I mean, Joe's supposed to be on tonight, I think, on Collision. I think that's part of, so we'll see what happens tonight.
So, we'll see. The other off the beaten path news that broke yesterday morning that's not involved with our Mount Rushmore or Jabroni of the Week, just general news breaking stuff that we got to touch on a little bit, is the incident involving Cash Wheeler. For those of you that are living under a rock the last 24 to 36 hours, Cash was indicted, aggravated assault charges, allegedly.
Everything's alleged.
Supposedly
right now.
In a road rage incident. I know the affidavit is out there. If you want to go online and read the affidavit, you can go online and read the affidavit. Everybody was losing their minds yesterday.
Just bad timing. That's all it is.
And you know, then there was, oh, apparently AEW knew about it the whole time and were waiting. And then it was like, no, AEW didn't find out about it until yesterday. Whenever he got, you know, he showed up for his arrest. And I look, are we ever going to get the full story as when they knew and how they knew and what they decided to say and not say? No. Would it make zero sense for them to book this Young Bucks FTR match knowing that this incident happened and that he was going to turn himself in? Yeah, that would make zero sense for them to do. So just looking on screen-wise with what they presented, it, I tend to lean more toward the side of they didn't know anything until yesterday dropped.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good on him then. If he didn't even bring it up to them, you know, with this going on. And just let it play out like, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know,
hey,
like,
that's not a good look either. We see it with NFL players and NBA players. We see it with pro sport athletes all the time. Mm-hmm.
This has happened in WWE before, and they've been like, okay, you're gone. You know, you didn't tell us, you're cut.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I don't see Tony playing that game, but.
No, I mean, it happened in Florida. We all know how batshit crazy Florida is. Taquan. So we don't know, you know, with the whole stand your ground law, and then, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. But apparently he just flashed, you know, lifted his shirt and showed that he had a gun in a road raid incident.
Others had pistol whip. It was a lot of stuff going around. Yeah. And everybody became an international law attorney.
Right.
Everybody, like, you can't go to the UK with this, this, and this. It was like, okay, everybody got a law degree now.
Yeah, yeah. So... so yeah, we'll see how this plays out. I mean, I still, given my law background, still believe innocent until proven guilty. The fact that he has no travel restrictions or anything against him, didn't have to surrender his passport or anything, leads me to believe that he will be at Wembley and we will get this match. Now, there's a lot that can happen in a week.
Judge is a mark.
Judge may be a mark, but also the courts move really slow. So, I mean, we've seen with Alvin Kamara and the Saints, his incident from the Pro Bowl last year just got resolved. Like, you're talking a whole year plus for them just to have the case in that. So, It'll take some time, but we'll see how it plays out. And, you know, long-term booking. But does this change the finish to the match? Was FTR going to go over? Or
possibly.
You know, are the Bucks going to invoke EVP power now and win the titles? Who knows? But we'll see. So, but it is just a very bad case of poor timing.
Yeah.
But in Cash's defense, and this is just me playing both sides of the fence here, if the incident truly escalated and got to that point where he felt that he needed to at least flash that he was carrying, that he had the Arn Anderson Glock. If he had the Arn Glock on him and he needed to flash it, then we'll see. But...
Jason?
I want to say no, but yeah.
I think the light skin and Viv line actually pulled that one over the hump. For those of you that don't know,
that's the Luigi Primo reference in that line.
Yeah, the light skin and V line got me. That's for sure. So, all right. Anybody got anything else on Cash?
Nah.
Okay. Hey, look, I was thinking this question to do is like a debate this or a what if, right? Or predict the future type of segment. But like, we may need to at some point in time just give a little 5-10 minute conversation to 20 years from now when you look back. What is who is AEW going to be remembered like? ECW, ROH, TNA, or WWE? Because right now they got strong WCW vibes. Strong WCW vibes.
Yes, they did.
And WCW had what? A nice 6-year run, 7-year run, and then the company was out of business. So.
This week, and we'll get into it, because I know we'll get into it today, but this week it was given WCW TN awful vibes.
All right.
So let's go into some positive before we get into the show.
All right. We'll go into positivity. Go ahead, Donald. You're steering the ship. You go first with your positive, with your Mount Rushmore.
My Mount Rushmore goes to Melo and Wesley's contract signing. I like their little back and forth during the signing. Probably the best I ever heard Wes give a promo. Carmelo, as always, whenever he's playing, you know, that side. Everything hit on point. There was only one thing that I really didn't like about the promo, but I'll get into that into my jabroni, one or two. But the only thing I'm way into this match. I cannot wait to see this match. I know it's going to be like one of probably my match of the night for them. But kudos to them. They really hooked me for a go home show for that match.
Is it a go home show whenever the next episode is just the thing? I get it.
Semantics there, you can debate that, but I would have much rather have seen the promo actually on the go home show. But if you're going to do like a little vignette video package and touch on their history while they fought each other for the North American title, and you know, weave in the promo from last week as their go home finished, and I'm okay with that. But I agree with everything you said. I got nothing to retort to that Mount Rushmore selection. Wes definitely stepped his game up. And when the light was the brightest on him, he delivered. I didn't think he had that promo in him. I really didn't.
Not me either.
So it just goes to prove everything he was saying in the promo, right? Like,
yes.
I've been told all my life
you can't.
I just continue to do.
Can't. So, the will.
Yeah. Kudos there. I'm not mad. That's a good selection to put up there. Anything else with that one?
Did you want to get – you were talking about that. It was the same thing. Do you want to get into your jabroni with that, or do you want to come back around?
We'll circle back around. We'll keep it all positive. Right now. We're gonna keep the energy up, except for Jason. Man, you really need to start sniffing coke or something. This is ridiculous.
Look, this is me 24/7. You can't change it.
Nah, man, we got up it. We got up it a little bit, especially if you're wearing the Ultimate Warrior jersey or shirt that is just notorious for being on uppers.
Everything.
You need to come in high energy.
The people are spirit that way.
Shake the camera like you used to shake the ropes. Like, do something.
The people like Jason just the way he is.
Too chill.
Ty, you're gonna get voted down. He's gonna give you a thumbs down and make you drop another Luigi Primo reference.
For me, like, wrestling this week was like a total dud to me. I didn't enjoy much of anything. So I'm gonna just throw out the one in my pocket I've been hanging on is Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy went from gimmick wrestler to making that international title to me the third best belt in wrestling that I watch. He's out. It's the best to me. It's the most relevant belt on AEW right now. Until, you know,
it's delivering the most.
Yeah. Until Cole and MJF have their match, that's the most relevant belt. It overshadows everything. And he's been putting on classics and bangers week after week.
So, I mean, it's
a surprise from Jason.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure what to expect from the run whenever he first won the belt. Mm-hmm. And then you got like the silly, oh, it's in a book bag and he pulls it out. And I'm like, all right, this belt is never going to get any traction because it's a brand new belt. It's been, you know, not defended in the best of light given the circumstances whenever the belt was first introduced. It already had a name change. Like, what are we doing here?
Speaking of the name change this week, I'm the dumb Mark who apparently hasn't noticed this, but on his, whenever he comes out at the very top of the LED screen, they have All Atlantic and it's crossed out. Then it like international title underneath it. I was like, I haven't noticed that before. I was like, that kind of cracked me up this week.
Yeah, that was well done. I don't know if that's new or not, but that's definitely fits the gimmick to a T.
Yeah,
with that. So attention to details there, but no, I mean, look, did I ever think Orange Cassidy was going to be a guy to be your main champion? No. Is this run made me change my mind to think could he have a run at some point in time, given the right circumstances and story and opponent? Yeah, I could see Orange Cassidy holding the heavyweight title after this. Is it what's best for business? Who knows? But he's definitely made me a believer in that he can take the world title and make it into something based off of what he's done with this international title. Mm-hmm. And this is what you want from your undercard title holders. You want them to make the matches relevant, make the title relevant, make it mean something when they lose it. I mean, he's checking all the boxes, and this is his first title run in a major promotion. So kudos to him for stepping his game up, because I didn't think he had it in him, and he's over-delivered in my estimation.
Between him and Gunther, those are top tier right there. They're making mid-card belts mean something.
I mean, you have Christian doing great promos, but, I mean, that belt's pretty much been obscure for a while now.
Yeah. Hot potato.
Yeah.
Now, you know that I'm not big into Orange, but he is making that belt relevant. He is.
I will say, Jason, with bringing up the him and Gunther, those are the two champions that I want to see wrestle the most.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm invested in every match they have. Regardless, even though Orange Cassidy's run has been majority just cold matches booked and really hasn't had any true story, there was some history here with Wheeler, so you got to play the MCU connect the dots game. So there was history and backstory in that here with Yuta this week. But yeah, anytime those two are on TV, I'm sitting down and watching their matches for sure, 100%. I just don't know who's going to be the guy to defeat him. Like, if he's made it relevant and he's elevated it to a status where you want to see it and it means something, then whoever takes the belt off of him gotta continue and raise the bar higher than what he did. So who's that guy gonna be?
The way it's playing out, I thought it was going to Moxley, and I was just gonna save it to the week before that happens. But since that's going to Stadium match.
They're both in the match. So both in the match, they can make history. I mean, not history, but they make story with it.
Just because you've been dressing up as Orange Cassidy since the indie days, Cam. Hey, look,
Cam 2 did like we sent out the bat signal for Orange Cassidy on that.
Yeah, he heard it was like the Cody BTE days. He heard like the twist of Orange Crush open up, and he was like, "We're talking about Orange."
He made the belt relevant. I'm still not a fan of his, but he made the belt relevant.
I enjoyed the gimmick from day one. I got the gimmick from day one. But the fact that he's evolved the gimmick from day one means that he's a true pros pro. Because the Orange Cassidy now is not the same Orange Cassidy that started 4 years ago whenever the company debuted. So kudos to him. Like I said, he gets it. And he can continue to evolve that character for a long time. It's not a big stretch for him to be Orange Cassidy his entire run. Where some guys, you know, they need like that fresh coat of paint or need a heel turn just because. Like, no, there's different nuances and little things he can do just to continue to evolve it. And he's good for another 10 years.
He'll be good.
Rumor has it that he's producing behind the scenes now too. So it's like you got apparently he's thinking after wrestling.
After already. Wrestling, yeah.
Because you never know. Right.
So we got Wesley and Mello. We got Orange Cassidy. Chris, where you at this week?
I'm going to give it to my boy Ricky Starks because I enjoyed his promo on Saturday, and more than anything for not even just the promo that he gave, he's one of the best parts of Collision.
Yeah, he's one consistent. Of the best parts in pro wrestling.
He's consistent. He's one of the reasons why I watch Collision every week. I've just been enjoying him consistent, so I just wanted to give him his just due because he's deserving of it. He's that talent.
I was a Starks fan going back to whenever I first saw him in NWA.
Mm-hmm.
When I started watching NWA when they first came back and they rolled out that roster, I was like, oh, this is a guy that's going to be a major player somewhere. Like, just see it. He just jumps off the screen. Even if he doesn't talk, you just look at him and go, all right, this dude is, you know, oozing in machismo. Rest in peace, Scott Hall. But, yeah, he's had it since day one. And, you know, if you go out there and you say I had to whoop that 70-year-old man's ass like a kid, you love your child, but you got to beat your child. And then he looked at Shivani and was like, yo, you look at me like that one more time, and I'm going to take this and start whipping your ass. I was like, oh, this is great.
You know? I'm kind of looking forward to seeing where this goes the next couple of weeks, saying that he's got manager's license now for the next 30 days. So kind of sucks, you know. I don't know if we'll see the suspension lifted for a match at Wembley or All Out, but
Run the gimmick. Run the suspension. Yeah, there's creative things you can do with that. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's different booking.
Just got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to do it and stick with it. Exactly.
I mean, he didn't do anything last week with, you know, other than the promo. We'll see this week if he does what he does with it, if he manages somebody or what TV time he gets. But, you know, it's 30 days, so it's not a lot of time with it. But you got to do something with it.
No, but you got four shows to where you can just have him run somebody out to make CM Punk's life miserable and, you know, set up that continuation. So,
I said before, Joe's supposed to be on tonight, so we'll see if he does something with Joe.
He should be a feature on that show each and every single week.
Yeah. And he has been, so I'm okay with that.
Right. So you want to separate the rosters out and make it in, you know, individual shows and everything else, then he needs to be a mainstay player on that program each and every single Saturday. So, again, not mad at that selection. It was up there, too, on my list. Initially, I was going to go with Hobbs and Miro. Okay. One, because it's Hobbs and Miro and, you know, big, beefy men beating the shit out of each other. Pause. I like the way they set it up. I like the whole promo Hobbs cut with the Book of Hobbs and the redemption chapter, and I'm calling out the Redeemer and laying Miro out. We haven't seen Miro get laid out, so that's going to light a fire under his ass. I was all on board with that being my Mount Rushmore until last night. If it really truly was the end of Edge, and it was the swan song, and this was the last match, and we don't see him again, which all indications I would lead to believe that's the case, given how choked up Beth was last night in the audience. Kudos to him. Kudos on a 25-year run. Kudos to WWE for the way that they respected his wishes and didn't make it over the top, but still honored and showed appreciation. Kudos to Sheamus for giving him a hell of a main event to go out on.
No surprise kudos, there.
You know, kudos across the board. Some people are debating, well, if it was his last match, why do you go out on a win and not go out on his back? We've seen retirement matches all the time where they lose and that's it. That's the end. You give back to the business what it gave you. Look, Edge was not going to take that pinfall in Toronto last night. There was no way in hell. Unless Vince McMahon was booking that show, there was no way he was taking that pin in Toronto last night. In my eyes. Would it have made a difference and, like, actually put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, and make it as real can be, given all the rumors surrounding his retirement? Probably you have him lose there, but I'm not mad with the finish. It was a special moment, special match, special talent. You know, we could do a one guy to go of just Edge moments as far as what he's done over the course of his career. So I seen the whole, oh, he's going to show up in Wembley with Christian and they're going to face the Young Bucks because Cash can't travel. No. Stop it. Stop it. But I got to put Edge there. Mount Rushmore. Hall of Famer. Don't know where you have him all time, but got to give the man props.
Wrestling was taken from you, so there was no way you send him out on his back.
Right. So he didn't get to. The first time he retired, not under his circumstances. So.
And sometimes it depends on what the type of match. You know, if he was going for a title. Okay, that's where you lose, you know, and you go out sometimes. I mean, Trish won the title on her last match and then retired, so you don't always have to go out, you know, with a loss. So the win didn't bother me at all. I thought it was, you know, the whole situation. I'm sure Sheamus was probably like, I'm not taking the win on that. You know, he probably wanted to put him over more than anything too.
Yeah, but I mean. This is like the a la Jerome Bettis winning a Super Bowl in Detroit, where he's from. Like, you go out on top in your hometown where you first saw Hogan sitting in the stands, same arena, WrestleMania. What was that? WrestleMania 6?
Six.
Yep. Like, and we saw it with the video package. Again, kudos WWE with another home run video package last night. Like, I just. Everything that went on last night, and I'm not the biggest Edge mark. I've never been just enthralled with Edge throughout his entire run. There were parts that I really enjoyed, other parts I could have did without. I prefer Christian over Edge. If I'm picking between the two, I'm taking Christian. But you got to respect everything that that man did in the ring for 25 years. So,
yeah.
There's no way that I was leaving Edge off of Mount Rushmore this week, given everything that went on last night.
I mean, he said last summer, he said that Toronto was going to be it for him. You know, he called that last summer. So, you know.
So the next time we're in my hometown.
Yep, that was going to be it. So we'll see if that really is it. I think that's the perfect way, like last night, to end it, you know, in the hometown with a win, right off into the sunset that way. But if he really wants to end things a certain way on his terms, does he want to have a match with Christian one more time? That's what kind of popped in my head. You know, so that's where I, you know, he was in talks to go to AEW anyways with Christian, you know, before he returned to WWE. So is that something we see? I don't know. I'm not saying that's definitely happening. But the interest is there to see if it happens.
Yeah, I mean, if he were to go to AEW, it would strictly be for Christian. Like, there's no other ulterior motives or anything else. Like, Edge to me is one of those guys where you look at him and just go, oh, you're a WWE lifer. Like, you're in that category. You're in the Cena Taker. You know, you're that guy that was there your entire run. And to see you pop up somewhere else, not that it's going to blemish it, but he's not, to me, he's not that guy. So as much as I would love to see him and Christian have one more match or one more tag team match against FTR, Dax floated that out there back in March whenever he was doing his podcast, that the Edge Christian match is not that far off. It's not that unbelievable. Given how tight of a relationship those four men are, you know, they live right down the road from each other, Edge and Dax. So could we see it? Potentially. Do I want to see it? Absolutely, because Edge, Christian, FTR for me would be a highlight tag team match. Is it going to happen? I wouldn't put a high percentage on it. Yeah,
would do not. Do it like Flair did his one night thing. Instead of having it tied to a brand, just have your own special.
That's not a bad idea.
Same thing Goldberg's going through right now.
Nobody wants to see that.
I don't think anybody wanted to see Flair one last time either. But
I mean, hey, for what it was, though, that Flair one last time match was not that bad. It was not the shits. So I don't need 70-year-old Edge out there.
Yeah, no.
But, yeah, so congrats to Edge. Thank you, Edge. 25 years is a hell of a run. So, all right, Mount Rushmore. Now for the drizzling shits. Let's get into Jabroni. Let's bash some people. Let's talk some shit. Let's
Donald, kick it off again.
Go ahead, because I got a feeling I know where everybody's going. But
I have two, actually. First one, all remarks to, now this is coming from me, all remarks or anything to the Montgomery brawl, this stuff got to be over with. They got to quit. I mean, Carmelo said it during the promo. I was like, come on, this is enough. New Day bought out the white chairs. I mean, it was funny for a couple days at max. It's time to get over it. That goes for everybody. So stop it, please. And then my second one is on AEW on Dynamite. Whenever JR and Omega was doing their little sit down, the cuts that production did in between some of the stuff was ridiculous. At one point, whenever Juice and Switchblade came out and beat up Omega, they beat him up. He was on his knees. Then the next cut, he was already at the garage door. I was like, okay, so how did he get from one place to another? Then the next cut, there was a rope around his neck. Like, how they put the rope around his neck. The production cuts of that whole segment was awful.
Continuity, people.
I just don't understand JR being silent during that whole thing. Where was the over the top? You know what I mean? Like, that's JR's moment right there. Like, and he was just silent, just looking, shaking his head. Like, he's like, I flew to Jacksonville for this. This was just out for? This is what he looked like. Like,
I mean, I legitimately had to watch back three times because I thought I blinked and missed something, and I didn't miss anything.
Nope, you didn't.
I didn't. It was just like they was looking that way. The next thing you know, they're at the garage door. It was like, hold up, how did that happen? Did time jump or something? Did the Flash come in and do something? I was just... Yeah.
Internally. All internally. Yeah. All right.
And even the continuation of that segment to Hangman, you know. Okay, yeah,
after commercials.
Let's just put the ambulance in front of a garage door and call it a hospital.
while drinking beer on the premises.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. The whole segment was awful, and then Hangman's promo was nothing special at all. Like, that was probably one of the weakest I've heard from Hangman in AEW.
Yeah, I thought there was a banned moves list.
There is.
But all that shit was on the banned moves list.
In WWE.
Every week.
No, AEW got one going around.
Yeah, I thought that was... Didn't they have one? The ring. No drinking?
No drinking in the stands.
No, around fans. It got to be around fans.
I think it's taking the fans' drink, like they've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Max took that cup of water, but it was actually the mother's tequila that she somehow managed to get in the arena while holding a baby. Like,
that's where I quote Donald. It's all at work.
All right. I'm not mad at that. That was, yeah. All right. Well, I wasn't expecting to have different options here, so I'm glad we got some different options here for Jabroni, because I thought everybody was going to say the same damn thing. So, all right. Jay, what do you got? You weren't enthralled with this week in pro wrestling, so go ahead and say it.
I know you. I mean, if y'all want the massacre, let's talk about the massacre. That was god awful trash. Everything about it.
All right.
The only positive out of that match for me was the title of this week's show was Taz. Well, that was something.
That was the best part of that match. Hardy's face thing was dope.
Yeah, that's about it. It was. It's the only good thing about Jeff.
So I knew one of the threes were going to come on here with this as being Jabroni of the week. The Texas.
Oh, this is where you want to play Devil's Advocate.
I didn't look. When they announced it, I knew it was going to be gimmicky and hokey to begin with, right? How would they tie the video game aspect into it? It's, you know, all that jazz, right? I didn't turn it off and go, okay, this is the worst thing in pro wrestling ever, until Leatherface came out, which is the main character in the game. When he came out with that chainsaw noise piped in through
the PA, yes,
the entire stadium,
yes,
swinging that damn fucking Halloween hayride chainsaw with no chain on it around, running character. I was like, all right, now you jump the shark. I like
it. It reminded me of Homer Simpson from the Simpson movie. Just go.
That would have been more believable. I would have believed that more.
That was as bad as Knoxville cattle prod.
Maybe we'll just change Jabroni of the week to. But no, I was okay with everything they did up until that point. We knew we were going to get everybody and their mother involved, which they were. We knew we weren't getting a straight match, which we didn't get. They incorporated the lighting and all that to make it, you know, a la video game-esque. You know, the throwing of the blood and everything else. Like, okay, I'm not going to completely trash it, but it was the same thing whenever the zombies climbed up on top of the ring. It was the same thing with Leatherface. I was cool until you took it too far. And they took it too far. You could have did that entire match without Leatherface and still got the result that you were looking for with the cross promotion of the video game. So
why was there a title belt?
Well, it's the Leatherface
In Texas Massacre, Chainsaw Massacre, the video game, do you win a belt? Like at the very end, like after you kill everybody, you just get a belt?
Now you will. That'll be DLC.
It's like Wreck-It Ralph, like, ooh, a medal. Ooh, a title belt.
You retire one belt, you bring one in.
I agree with you, Steve. They didn't need Leatherface in there because Jared's whole crew was dressed up as the characters from the movie.
Yeah. Right.
So if he didn't get it from that point, then Leatherface was looking pretty slim in that suit. I never seen a more skinnier Leatherface in my life. some of the horror movie guy.
Unveil of who was under there. You know, I didn't think it was going to be like actually.
Oh, that's TK.
Has he ever worn a suit?
What's TK?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember Leatherface being in a suit, but all right.
Who's what's dude's name that's the lawyer? Sterling? Was that him? Because he's the only
Mark
one.
Sterling. Sterling, yeah.
He's the only one that consistently wears a suit.
I mean, you would have been better off having Christopher Daniels do that. He's played Curry Man. He's played, you know, he's done them all. You might as well have him play Leatherface.
Not tall enough.
So, yeah, I'm not – look, I'm not going to completely trash it. What, did they go too far and jump the shark with it? Absolutely.
No, yeah, they did.
Like, absolutely did. But if you were expecting a five-star wrestling spectacle with that match,
then you're the jabroni.
I did, and now on the flip side of playing devil's advocate, let me run this by you guys. So I gave some positive about it. The negative, right? AEW is supposed to be an alternative that's a sports-based company where wins and losses matter, and they take their wrestling seriously. Why are you doing this WWE sports entertainment gimmick crossover to the 100th degree?
You're still quoting the original AEW. You know, day one, it's changed since.
This is AEW 2.0.
This is AEW 2.0. This is, actually, it's AEW TK, but yeah, that was original AEW's mission statement. That's not the current mission statement of AEW.
And then my other question is Jeff Jarrett the smartest guy in wrestling?
He is.
Because he knew this was going to get nothing but hate. And to have him be unconscious body just being held up by Satnam Singh for the Leatherface title just makes you want to hate the man even more. Like, I love what Jeff Jarrett is doing right now.
They said he's blackmailing Tony because there's no way he has this much TV time.
I agree. Like, I don't get it. Keep like if they would kept that on Rampage, I've been like, yep, that's where it deserves. Because that's where most of all this stuff deserves to be.
This man might be,
but you're not getting a sponsorship like that and putting it on Rampage. So
this might be the only legend that probably get a pass from me because he just keeps me entertained.
I don't know. He did the guys close last week, and I was like, you know what, that's tough.
I have no problem with Jeff. It's just like, why do we have to keep doing this stupid ass stories with him though? Like,
that's him.
Like he doesn't deserve better though.
That's
like,
him.
Yeah.
No, that's him.
No, that's him.
He's probably
He's probably the one that's brokering the sponsorship deals.
It could be.
Could be.
Because weren't they in Nashville?
Were they in Nashville.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So. I mean, look, they got paid $100,000 for that. And they donated it all to the Maui Food Bank.
Did anybody buy a Texas Chainsaw Massacre yesterday?
No.
That's not a game that I'm going to want to hop on and play. Right.
I didn't even watch the video yet.
After playing Friday the 13th with you guys and how bad that was for me, it's like, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I guess, you know, with the game being released now, but it would have made more sense, I don't know, wait 2 months in October you do this because it's Halloween and, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But it is what it is there. So yeah, those were my thoughts. I wanted to give some pushback, give some praise because I knew it was going to come up. Like, it just had to be on somebody's list. It was not going to go without being on one of your lists for Jabroni of the Week this week. So any other thoughts on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match? Can't believe that's a real thing I said on this show in 2023. My Jabroni of this week is split two ways. And one is a consistent problem that AEW has had since it started, which Bully Ray talked about on his, you know, after the, what's he call his, Busted Open After Dark thing. Everybody that's using the After Dark moniker, thank the Dumb Marks, because started this before anybody else did, and everybody else took it and ran with it to where we retired it. We don't even do After Dark anymore because all you other marks are out there still in our gimmicks. Okay. But AEW, can you let segments breathe? Please, for the love of God, let segments breathe. There is no, there, you cannot digest a single thing that they do on that on their show.
I feel and like they can do it on Collision. Yeah.
It's just dynamite. Mm-hmm. Everything was just into the next, into the next, into the next, into the next. 10 o'clock, show's over.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times it needs to be said, but you're doing your product a disservice by the way that you're formatting the show consistently each and every single week.
Slow it down.
Slow and steady wins the race.
What I was saying before, because this isn't the original AEW. That's the formula was much better at the beginning than it is now.
Like Bully Ray said, it's wrestling 101. You have to let the fans digest what they just saw to decide whether or not they want to get on board and get invested in it.
And you are allowed to come back to something. Just because the segment ended doesn't mean it's over. Mm-hmm. You can come back.
Yeah.
Ask Jericho.
We're going to dive into the whole build to All In next week whenever we break down and predict the show. So I didn't want to touch on that this week.
Oh, yeah.
With the way that matches were announced and all that. We'll save that for next week. But, yeah, so AEW just – breathe. Like Fabulous said, breathe. One into the two, two into the three. If you do that, your segments will have more room to actually breathe.
You just babbling.
Yes, I did. Yes, yes. The second thing that was on my Mount Rushmore this week, the way SmackDown opened yesterday was complete trash. You had eight guys involved in a segment to lead to a two-man match just to get an LA Knight segment in. That's all you did. Mm-hmm. You had Grayson Waller out there to open the show. He calls out Ray and Santos. They come out. They beef. Austin Theory comes out. And then you got what? LA Knight's music hit. Then Adam Pearce. They set up the match. And then before commercial break, the Miz's music hits and he comes out. What are we doing?
And then you have them. Then you have the match.
I mean, you told the finish of the match as soon as the Miz's music hit. You knew he was going to cost LA Knight the match.
You had Austin Theory win the match. And then what we announce next week? Let's do Rey Mysterio versus Grayson Waller. So it's just like, okay, kind of the whole Bianca thing. Let's just overshadow the person that won to go to somebody else.
So the number one contendership matches you had between Theory and LA Knight
didn't even matter.
Wasn't really matter. The number one contender match because
you're going to go with the person Ray that hosted Waller. The segment that didn't even wrestle.
Yeah. The first person in the ring.
And that didn't even get involved with them.
Waller has some. For the
next
title?
Week with Ray.
Next week.
That's why I said it made no sense. Mm-hmm. It made no sense.
Yeah.
That made zero sense. I watched that whole segment and I'm like, all right, I really might turn SmackDown. Because it was like, what are we doing here? Like, that felt like a Vince McMahon open if I've ever seen one. And I get...
Surprise wasn't a six-man tag, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, I get Miz costing the match for LA Knight, and you have Theory get a win, but, like, Theory's just... What? Because Theory lost his title last week, you automatically 50-50 booking him and got to give him his win back this week? You got a hot shot that went back right away. And not only do you hot shot the 50-50 booking to get him his win back, but you do it against LA Knight, who's your hottest guy in the company right now.
So you threw a little dirt on him.
So Michael Cole can get on Monday Night Raw and say how LA Knight underdelivers again and continues to bash him on commentary. Like, what are we doing?
He lost that, so it can be the 50-50 booking of him beating The Miz whenever they fight.
I know we don't question the draft, but why is The Miz on Raw? Or why is The Miz on SmackDown?
Because LA Knight showed up on Raw.
Mm-hmm. 50-50 book.
At least he had a reason. He was doing photo shoots. You could have been back there for, like, you know, all the wrestlers are always there. He was there for
photo shoots. That's what it was. 50-50 book. You show up, like, I show up.
We have Miz on commentary for us.
Like, if I would have been watching SmackDown on record on the DVR, as soon as I heard Miz's music hit, I would have just fast-forwarded through the rest of that entire segment because you knew what was going to happen in the match as soon as his music dropped. And LA Knight is over can be right now. He's probably as over as anybody has been in that company in any point in time in recent memory. Okay. It's probably the closest thing to the Daniel Bryan, which is probably why they referenced the Yeah movement for the Yes movement, right? Even though that doesn't work. We talked about that on last week's show. But at some point, you got to let him start winning and start beating people. Mm. And
he won the SummerSlam as hot as
he is, why is he?
And he beat
why
is Dollar he, again.
Why are you going after the U.S. title? If you're a bad, dangerous man, like you said on Monday night, why are you going after a U.S. title? Mm-hmm. Walk to the ring, cut a promo on the Bloodline, and let's go.
Something different.
Now, would this be different if we called out Gunther?
I see. Now I would be okay with that.
See, U.S. side,
but they're on separate shows, so it's not going to matter. But
I was just seeing how he shows up on Raw.
Doesn't matter. Both.
That just shows you where the U.S. title is.
Roman is hurt. He's not going to be on Payback. Don't know how long he's going to be out for. They had one Bloodline segment last night, and it wasn't even a full Bloodline segment. It was just Heyman.
I enjoyed that.
I did too. But my point with saying that is you're going to need people to carry the show and get ratings. Who's going to be the one guy to carry the show and get ratings for you right now? I don't know. The hottest guy in your company. So make him a focal point while Roman's out. So when Roman comes back, he's ready to step in the ring with Roman. It's not difficult.
Yep.
Booking 101. It worked. Roman's out with an injury. While he's out, you build up the next guy to face him. He'd be a fresh challenge. He'd be brand new, something different. I would love to see him get on the microphone with Roman, where Roman's at right now from a character standpoint. Him and Heyman could go at it one-on-one. Like, I don't understand why we're doing this.
You just got automatic buy.
I mean, I said this a while ago whenever it was even when Roman would come up on Raw and no one would come out to challenge him. It's like he would show up on Raw to continue a Bloodline story, but there's no at the time there was no champion on Raw and no one would ever come out and challenge him. I think one time Riddle went and challenged him. And it's the same stuff now on SmackDown, even though Roman's there mostly every week. Like, they don't have anybody just come out to challenge him. Like, it's just Bloodline stuff. It's like, you're telling me he's the guy, and everybody's just like, we're okay with that. We don't want the title.
He's the tribal chief. He dictates his matches.
But no one gives a shit. Like, that's the way you basically make the roster seem whenever you do that, is that nobody gives a shit about the title.
Hey, run your hottest baby face out there. That's an Attitude Era knockoff, like Miz said, and have him cut promos on Roman Reigns the entire time Roman is out injured. Do the reverse Miz gimmick he did with Cena. Miz called out Cena for a year, and then Cena came back, cut Roman promo, and whooped his ass at a pay-per-view. You don't got to have Roman whoop LA Knight's ass, but have him go out there and cut promos on Roman all the time.
You know, as soon as he loses, they'll be like, oh, he's buried.
Yeah.
Of course. Dude, they buried LA Knight.
Look, if you're going to get to Cody and Roman at WrestleMania 50, whatever WrestleMania it is.
40.
Yeah, WrestleMania 40 in Philly, that's where you're going. You could do a pit stop with LA Knight at Survivor Series, at Saudi. Hell, you could even do it at the Rumble. Unless you're planning on LA Knight winning the Rumble, and then you're really in a conundrum. Because he's going to go after her. So Cody, you can have Cody finish. You can have Cody finish the story against Seth, but it's not going to be for the title that Dusty wanted to win.
And Cody's already said that that's not finishing the story.
Right. So
people calling their shots like they're NBA players.
James, Daryl Morey is a liar. Triple H is a liar. And I will not be on the SmackDown roster anymore.
People calling their shots, boy. Yeah.
So those were my jabronis of the week this week. I need AEW to breathe, and I need SmackDown to not start off with eight people to give away your match finish just to get LA Knight on a segment.
And if that's somebody else fighting
the belt. If that's the creative way that you came up with to get him out there, you got to go back and you got to go back and hit the drawing board.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
That shit ain't work.
Freddie Prinze, where you at?
Freddie needs to stop doing his promotion, figuring that shit out, and just come back and save this stuff.
I thought the writer's strike finally hit WWE last night. I'm like, oh shit, they got a whole new group of writers in. This is ridiculous. So yeah, you can call it nitpicking if you want, but those.
No, you're right.
That just
no, it really, is.
It made no it sense is. Last night. None at all.
And this will lead to mine. Everything you guys said. It's not one thing that I'm picking. I'm going right to me. I'm the jabroni because I don't understand why I'm still watching this week in and week out. That's my jabroni of the week is me because everything you guys said, Omega, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Grayson Waller.
Yeah. I bet you did tackle. That's why you had the Street Profits still come out with their same theme music.
Same type of ring gear, everything. Like, yeah, come on.
They debuted a new finisher. Great. Wow. Great character change. I need to cut you off, Chris.
It's just, like you guys said, everything. The Omega and Hangman. Jason, you brought up Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Steve, you were bringing up Waller, inconsistent in the writing. I don't know what the hell Sting was doing back on the casting couch on Wednesday night. But
oh, it's Joker Sting. You don't know Joker Sting.
Oh, I know Joker Sting. I watch TN Awful all the time. It's just everything the past couple weeks. It's just like, and this just led to it. Go. Why am I still watching? The only show I'm enjoying consistently is Collision. It's just like that's about it. I'm about to cut everything and just watch Collision only in events.
So we'll come to you on Saturdays for the Collision recap.
Yeah, that's about where it's going to be. I don't understand why I'm still watching anything.
The whole Joker's thing, the timing of it didn't make sense. Like, nothing that you've done leading up to this coffin match made me think that Sting is going to lose his mind.
Exactly.
And bring out the Joker Sting persona. He just showed up with it. Like, oh, I got a couple matches left. Might as well roll this gimmick out here.
It was NWO made him become Crow Sting, you know, and Immortal made him become Joker Sting. And now, why is he back to Joker Sting? Other than Jericho changes his gimmick every other week just because for fun. Is that what we're doing with Sting now? He's just going to give us the best hits whenever he feels like.
It's doing the Matt Hardy stuff, you know? Yeah. I got to go through all my gimmicks before I give it up.
Sting's better than
that. I will say Sting being, what, 64 years old, 65 years old, showing up at an independent wrestling show to choke out AR Fox. is actually pretty cool. Like the people that were there, and you get fucking Sting to come out.
That's commitment. You're
independent. Like, he's living his best life. Regardless of it was worth bringing the Joker Sting back or not, he's out there just living his best life and having a bunch of fun before he hangs it up. And I'm not going to begrudge him that, even though it makes no sense from a watchability standpoint as to why this character is on my screen right now. Oh, and to answer your question, Chris, the reason why you watch is because we talk about it for an hour and a half each and every single Saturday.
If it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be watching it, honestly.
So we can take applications. Head on over to dumbmarkspod@gmail.com.
Ty, you want to tag in? Tag in, Ty.
Tag in for a bit.
give me a break because I can't.
We don't have a censor button big enough for Ty Quan on this show live on air. We got to filter him through the comments like we're a Brita pitcher. You want to put him live on air? I'll set my resume.
A couple of days ago, one of Dawn's posts came up on my timeline where we were all down at AEW. And you can see the excitement in his post. We're all down here in the building. Like, look at him now.
Only watches NXT.
I think he took the context out of that wrong.
We got the context. We were with you.
He was just happy to be in the PPG.
All right, so that's Mount Rushmore and Jabroni of the week this week. Hit us up. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong. We had Mello and Wes. We had Orange. We had Edge for me. And Chris, you had?
Ricky Starks.
Jabroni, Breathe, AEW, SmackDown Open, Texas Chainsaw Deathmatch. I don't know how Excalibur does it every time. Chris himself for Jabroni of the week, and then Donald, you had
Omega.
The Alabama, the Montgomery chair shot references,
and Omega.
I can't believe I just referenced that myself. Don't cancel us. And then what was
Omega,
your
other Omega segment?
An Omega segment, yeah. So hit us up. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong on social media. What do we got for a game this week?
Don't hype this up.
All right. So I did a debate this. The source comes from me. Something different. So you guys can get all on me. About my rank.
Rose-colored glasses. If you're going to drop your own list, this is better than the AI list that came out last year.
So I did the best wrestling crowd interactions.
That's so your ranking.
Yes, this is my ranking. Yeah, like I said, I know I would get roasted for a lot of stuff, but this is anything that constantly happens with the crowd and the wrestlers. So I have Sandman, the ECW entrance one. Brian Danielson, yes chant, Jericho, Judas, Stone Cold, what's the bottom line? The Rock, do you smell what the Rock's cooking? Seth Rollins, visionary, Cody Rhodes, whoa, in his theme music, Adam Cole, the boom and bay, John Cena, let's go Cena sucks, the New Age Outlaws, tag team champions of the world, Suzuki, I can't say that even though I've been listening to it forever, his theme music, Kurt Angle, you suck, Scott Hall, Ayo, it's survey time. DX, suck it. Goldberg, the Goldberg chant before his entrance. So this is my list, top 15 list. I know there's some omissions.
Have at it.
You don't have the New Day?
We'll get Roddy and Body.
You don't have
Ola Leg,
you don't have the Roo? Rasa,
you don't have no code in?
Ty, I think you and Jason just became best friends.
Real quick, I will say before we get into this, I will say real quick, Roderick Strong kicking the tire and injuring his foot last week during that Dynamite was gold. Like, that was tremendous. That's the sports entertainment that I can get that I'm here for. All right. Who wants to go first on this? Because I know we're going. I know this is going to be.
I'm all for it.
The fact that you have New Day Rocks and Woo on here is ridiculous. And Enter the Sandman at number one. Get out of here.
Pouring beer down people's mouths. Come best on now.
Best entrance of all time.
Come on.
With how many fans? With how many fans?
There was at least three or four.
Now we're going to bag on it being ECW
fans. Come on now. Come on. WrestleMania 22 with how many fans there? So it counts for large audiences too.
Now come on. Now at the time, fans. Now at the time that was completely different. Nobody was doing that.
And it's been overshadowed now.
What overshadows Enter Sandman?
Let's go see Cena sucks is better than that.
Oh, there's the WWE flag there. There you go.
We've actually been in the building when they've done that and had more of a pop than Enter the Sandman.
No, it didn't. I've been to an event with the Sandman and ECW during the 90s with
during
that time.
The height of ECW? Yeah,
during the height of ECW.
When that song hits that they didn't pay licensing rights for, and you know Sandman's coming out with a cigarette and a six-pack to drink. Like, hell, Stone Cold said he even stole the beer gimmick from Sandman.
The Peacock has more buzz for me.
I will say
that's because you were there for Party Peacock when it first started, too. You saw it live.
For me, if we're going on fan interactions, Stone Cold and The Rock, that's more of the theme music hitting, not necessarily the crowd interacting. In the same sense of the other ones that you have on this list. So when that glass breaks and you know Stone Cold's coming out, yeah, the crowd's going to pop, but that's not like a fan interaction type deal. Same with The Rock.
Even when out there. Go ahead.
I'd have the what in the millions.
I was going to say, if you would have put the what on there, that's different.
What I was thinking too.
Right?
I was thinking after the promo, you know, when they that's the bottom line in the crowd. Yeah. When Stone Cold
continue
says,
with it.
Yeah, with the Rock.
Go, yeah. This isn't Sing Along with the Rock.
And... yeah, with the Rock, do you smell? And everybody be like, ah, la, 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 la.
So, yeah, I mean, that.
But I see
here where we are 20 years later and people are still doing what?
Yeah, but to me that's more like a catchphrase. Like I'm looking at this list, like when the entrance hits when they come out. So to me, like to have the New Age Outlaws at 10 is really low.
Okay.
Wait, so you're going with when the
are you going with the entrance?
How the crowd run over, when? Yeah, no, it's not entrance. It's based on these, not their music hitting.
So wait, all right, criteria time. Donald, is this
Cody? Cody's having in the entrance, so but
Cody and Seth is in the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Cole's are you so this is where we need to fix it, figure out the criteria. Because are we going through music to the ring prior to the match starting as counting that as the entrance?
Or yes,
are we
I'm counting.
Just doing music hits, you come out and
no, I'm going from when the music hits all the way to the ring, what they
until
do.
Until the bell rings.
Yes.
Before the bell rings. Mm-hmm. The New Age Outlaws are way too low on this list if you're doing crowd interactions.
I mean, Scott Hall's wasn't even part of his entrance, so it came after the entrance.
But it was before the bell hit. Like, I can say that. Yeah.
That should be on the list.
So anything that's, you know.
The crowd did it.
Yeah. No, they did. Yeah.
The crowd did it. It was interaction.
Hey,
yeah, I thought about that. There was so many, it was just like,
oh, there was an AEW reference in there. Holy shit. Giving props.
Let him in there. As much as I hate Judas, it does deserve to be out on the list. And I fucking hate that.
I can't stand it now, but the crowd is into it.
Deserve to be up there, yeah.
I'd say for me, just I'm not saying this to bash LA Knight at all. It's just too new still. That's why I wouldn't put it on here yet. You know, we can see how that goes over time.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here and I'm like dividing this list up because you could almost make a separate list for Rollins, Cody, Cena, Angle, and
Cole.
But like those four alone, like Goldberg. As soon as the music hits Goldberg, as soon as the music hits, you're getting those things. Like you hear Kurt Angle's tunes hit, and automatically it's you, son. You know what I mean? Like Cena's Seth with the singing, even though he stole that from Pat McAfee, I'm gonna ride on that ship until the wheels fall off. And then Cody is just one big loud whoa, but it's still in the entrance ramp whenever his music's playing. Like,
I mean, no different whenever the crowd does boom with Adam Cole. They all get into it.
I mean, you got Cole with boom, you got the baby, and then you got story time with Adam Cole, baby. Like, there's three things right there.
I wanted to bring up Glorious with Bobby Roode, but I was like, I don't know if I would, which one of those I would replace out of here if it's in the top 15. That's when I thought like crowd really got into that. Like NXT at that time, they're the ones that really, you know, embraced theme songs.
Well, you know, I was just gonna say Nakamura with singing the thing, like you got Jericho and Rollins on here for singing, like Nakamura got to be in there.
Would you put Bayley up there?
JC and right with New Day. Completely forgot about been off TV so long. I completely forgot about those guys.
And Bayley's is just she ain't got to do nothing. She just shows up, and that's just fan interaction. She got to say nothing. Yeah. You just got to. They're singing Bayley's song.
Right, can we count Michael Bayley. Cole as a fan whenever she beats the shit out of him on stuff? You know, trashes him. That might be my number one then.
All right, let me twist this a little bit.
Where would you put Rusev?
What was that?
Rusev Day.
Would you put that as part of entrance or part of just out of random?
I mean, that was before Bell. So if we're going to classify it before Bell. Yeah, no, I would put Rusev Day.
Because when his music, when his music did hit, they started it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, Stone Cold and The Rock for me is more like ending a promo,
catchphrase.
Like, who's the best on that list? Like, to me, what's the bottom line? And do you smell what The Rock is cooking? Those two are 1A, 1B as far as ending a promo.
I mean, if we're going to take out catchphrases, then Outlaw's got to go, and same with Scott Hall, and same with DX, suck it.
But the Outlaws was prior to the Bell, prior to the match starting.
Yeah, but same with Stone Cold and The Rock. They never did that during a match. That was all during a promo or before.
They did it at the end of a promo.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the Bell.
The New Age Outlaws was in part of their entrance before the match was them running through the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Like, that's part of their entrance.
I would still count that as a catchphrase, but...
A paragraph is a catchphrase now? What type of AI list are you wearing?
Just because they had to have a shtick.
Just because you can only do 2+2 times, you can't get on my level.
We got to get a shirt. What's the criteria?
That is good.
Yeah.
That's the segment. There is no segment. It's just, what's the criteria?
What's the criteria? We should rename the show now. What's the criteria? Man,
I like everything that's on it. I think I would rearrange some of it. But,
of course.
You know, there's not.
Opinion-based.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean.
Because I thought about, like, every time we do debate this, it's always from, like, a third party or something. Mm. I was like, why not? I try one and just get.
Like Cody says, you did the work.
Like, like me be the source.
That way you get all the heat. Yeah.
Yes.
Get all the smoke.
Which I could take.
We need a graphic now of just solo cups going.
Mm-hmm. So what would your guys' top three, Biddy? If you guys
out of this list, top three?
Just anything, like of any crowd interaction, what would your top three be?
That's so hard because of the semantics. Like I said, Conan in WCW when he came out, like you talk, you know, he had that crowd going crazy every single time he came out and got on the microphone with his opening shtick.
Steve Stella, Conan Mark.
Yeah. Tequila Sunrise, one of my favorite finishing moves. Like, do you put DDP up here with the diamond cutter and the bang? Mm-hmm. Like, because everybody in the crowd was doing this. So yelling five. Bang. Like,
I'd go Cena, The Woo, and then Judas.
What Woo, Jay? Ric Flair's not on this list.
Rick Orshaw.
He's saying it should be on.
He said, put up.
Yes, at whatever.
Yeah.
From like a Flair chop to The Woo, that's what you're going to put on this list?
Mm-hmm. Crowd interaction.
See, then this is a different criteria. Yeah, you can definitely.
Nobody in the building. It's just you. And
you would work. You would figure out a way. You would work to figure out to get Charlotte Flair on your list.
Yeah. We're only playing if WrestleMania got booze.
Woo's and all kind of New Day references. It's all of Jason's favorite moment.
Look, it's hard to argue from start to finish. Sandman's entrance has to be top five. Like, regardless of arena size or anything else. Top five entrance. Goldberg, the Goldberg chance. I would put in top five. I don't know, man. After that,
I got
New Age Outlaws.
I'm gonna cross
off Stone Cold and The Rock for this because that's more of a catchphrase tagline for me than entrance. I don't know. I'm good on everything. I don't know, but
this made us think, Donald.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the credit for that.
Debate this.
Yep, exactly.
We'll see what the fans say whenever we put this list out there. I'm sure they'll have as many questions as I did as far as criteria. So yeah, there we go. This week's debate. This hit us up on social media. Let us know.
What?
Where's Roman Reigns? Ooh-ah.
Now we're just throwing anything.
Donald, do you want to bring that up? There's two versions of this list.
Yeah, I forgot Seth completely, so I had to take Roman off.
Roman was on the original one. And then I got, oh, wait, there's an update.
Yeah, baby. And the ooh-ahs during the match. Why you did the Flair chop? You did Flair chop.
Yeah, you got the Flair chop in there.
Flair chop in there. The damn Taekwon.
Too soon, Ty. Too soon.
Anything else?
Final thoughts.
All right. Guys, hit us up at Dumbmarks Pod on all social media. Make sure you head over to Spotify. Follow us on there and give the show a listen every Monday. We need to get those Spotify numbers up so you can help support your boys. And then, of course, always head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/DumbMarksPod. Buy some merch. Maybe Ty gets a shirt off of it soon. Who knows? We'll see.
shout out to Izzy. For those of you that don't know,
how was Izzy, that your jabroni? I forgot about that.
Why Izzy? Why is he getting airtime? What do you mean? Why is he getting airtime? Shout out to her for competing in her first pro wrestling match.
I competed in my first match last week. I lost.
Wrestling with yourself does not count. Wrestling with yourself does not count. Okay.
Thank you, Taquan. Put that up, man.
Y'all are just there you go.
I'm trying to be positive to they close conspiring. Out the show. And y'all both are of them just conspiring. Yeah. Oh, forget it. I'm not even doing it. Forget it. Y'all are some assholes.
I know how much she annoys Jason.
All right. Any other final thoughts?
Do you have positivity now to end it?
Circle back. Little quote a week. Circle back around. Never regret a day in your life. Good days give happiness. Bad days give experiences. The worst days give lessons, and the best give memories.
Yes.
Never regret a day in your life. Good days give happiness. Bad days give experiences. The worst days give lessons, and the best give memories. And with that being said, thanks for tuning in each and every single week to make a memory with us. Until next time, y'all can catch us around the way.